All right, 5 minutes after 11 o'clock. Are you a fan of Aesop's Fables? Robin, do you like Aesop's Fables?
Yes, I do.
I always liked Aesop's Fables because they were cool stories and they had a meaning. And you would take that with you the rest of your life, always referring to them, right? Anybody who can write that kind of a story is probably going to have books and stories that are told for generations to come. And I believe we have found somebody who can do that. His name is Filippo Voltaggio. He's on the phone. I hope I'm saying his name correctly. He is a life coach. He's host of a radio show called The Life Changes, and he's an inspirational speaker. You probably picked up on that already. He's the recipient of President Barack Obama's President's Call to Service Award, and his book is called The Little Dog That Could. It's a true story of life, love, and miracles. When the student is ready, the teacher appears. Filippo Voltaggio, good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning, Larry and Robin. Thank you for having me on. I'm great.
You're welcome. Where are you calling from?
California.
Where?
Los Angeles.
Oh, L.A. Okay. Well, thank you for getting up early to be with us today.
No worries. It's a pleasure.
So when you have a book titled The Little Dog That Could, the first thing that comes to mind is it's a children's book. But it sounds like you have some very adult ideas in the book.
You know, actually, the thought never crossed my mind that people would think it was a children's book until after it was released. And then I thought, of course, that's how I connected with the little engine that could.
Right.
I think I can. And so right. In a sense, it is simple enough. There are simple concepts in there that sometimes children understand better than adults do. In fact, there's a story of a child in the book that shares a concept that the adult parents just didn't get.
Okay, and is the dog your dog? I mean, is it Chichina? How do you pronounce the dog's name?
Yes, by the way, you pronounced my name correctly and the dog's name correctly. That's pretty impressive.
Okay, well, thank you. I'm glad I did. It's hit or miss with me. It's 50-50. You never know. So was Chichina, was that your dog as a child or as an adult?
No, it was a dog that was crossing the street one day while I was coming home as an adult from a night out. And the first thought I had was, oh, no, don't do that. Come to me. And I thought, what a crazy thought. I can't have a dog, and I can't keep where I live. I can't keep her, and I'm going to find the owner, so it's going to be fine. But the dog did come to me, and a day later, a week later, a month later, a couple months later, she was still with me.
Oh, no. You know, I have a similar story. Can I tell you my dog? I'm going to tell you about my dog who died about a year ago, but I got her 14 years earlier or something like that. I had it for a long time, and what happened was the dog prior to her died. Okay, and I told myself no more dogs. I'm not going to have another dog. It's too hard when they die. I can't handle it. And so then I went to a local pharmacy, Walgreens, and outside the pharmacy was a young girl with a box with a couple of puppies in it. I don't remember how many puppies were in it. And she said, would you like a dog? I said, no, I don't want a dog. So I'm walking through the store, and I'm thinking, oh, man, I should get that. I should take one of those dogs. And so I said, I said a little prayer to God. I said, okay, if you want me to have a dog, I'll flip a coin, and if it's heads, I'll take a dog. I reach in my pocket. There's no coins. So I said, okay, well, I guess God doesn't want me to have a dog. So then I pay for my stuff. The lady hands me my change. This is, I'm not making this up. One of the coins, a penny, falls to the floor, falls off the counter, and is spinning, and is spinning on the floor. And when it stops spinning, it's on head. So I said, oh my gosh, that's my message to get a dog. And so that was the end of my story. I ended up with a dog that lasted with me for 14 years.
Wow, that is a great story.
And that is the dog who could.
it relates, because throughout the whole story, I really couldn't keep her. My life was too busy traveling and all that stuff, and I was living alone, so there was no way I could keep her. And yet somehow in these months, I was able to do it. And it's it's one of those things, like, you know, if God wants me to, or if I'm supposed to, or, you know, help me figure this out. And there, I have to share this with you, because if you in particular read the book, and so many of us that have been through passing of animals, that there was a woman named Dorothy, who's still in my life. Actually, she's executive producer of our show, but I didn't know her at the time very well. But when I just happened to share with her that I found this dog, she said, "It's your dog." And I said, "No, you don't understand. I just found her yesterday, and we're looking for the owners, and it's all going to be fine." And she's like, "It's your dog." And so in later conversations, she kept saying, I'm like, "Why are you keep saying that?" She says, "You will have the dog until you learn your lesson." So every little thing that I would learn, and through the book, she's a spiritual healer, so she sees and knows things beyond what I know. But throughout the book, I was learning lessons, and so the book journeys the experience that I had with her, learning one lesson after another lesson. And after every lesson, I'd say, "Oh, good, I'm so happy for her. I've learned my lesson, and now we'll find her the perfect home." And that wasn't the lesson until one particular day. There was a lesson that came. And it was a really hard thing to experience, a hard chapter to write and relive, and it's hard for a lot of readers to get through it. But it's about the middle of the book, so there's a lot more story afterwards. In other words, I should say, for those that get there and kind of panic, the story has a happy ending.
And that's pretty amazing, because God knows exactly where he wants to place his miracles. And little dog just had to enter your life at a specific point.
Oh, absolutely. As a matter of fact, just a couple months ago, I meet a woman who said she could communicate with animals. And I said, "Wait, have I got a story for you?" And I said, "Are you able to talk to an animal about an experience that happened 9-10 years ago? And she says, "Well, that's an unusual request, but tell me what you want to know, and I'll see what I can do." And I gave her a list of questions, and then I gave her a picture of Chichina and a picture of myself, as she requested. And she came back and said things to me that were in the book, and someone can say, "Well, she read it," but she hadn't, but nonetheless, but then said things to me that weren't in the book that only the dog and I would know. And I thought, wow, I didn't think of putting that in the book, but I know that that's true. And she said that she had a mission, and she fulfilled her mission with me.
Wow.
I know.
Does that happen with women too? I mean, do I find a woman and she's in my life, and does a psychic say to me, "Oh, she's yours"?
There you go.
But did you learn your lesson, Larry? Did you learn your lesson?
Oh, yes, I did. I learned my lesson real good. Oh, my gosh. That is such a great story.
Well, this is such a happy, happy-looking dog. I'll bet you every time somebody saw the dog, was always smiling.
Oh, you got a picture of the dog? Where do you got a picture?
Yes.
Oh, there. Okay.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
She's right on the front cover.
Oh,
yeah.
My gosh.
As a matter of fact, the friend of mine who has her now has also worked as a healer. And when people come over that have particular ailments or something, she will go over to them and either lie on the side where the illness is, or come in at the right moment they're about to break down and cry or something. So, yeah, we hear these stories, and this is a story, frankly, that I didn't want to share. I didn't think this was my story, even though it happened to me.
Yeah.
I love the analogy, by the way, to Aesop's fable, although I don't know that any of those were true, but their meaning was true.
We don't know, right, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. So, in this case, it's funny. Before the book was released, I let a few people read it and asked them for their help or advice, and almost everybody said, oh, it would be great, it would be even better if you change this part, or, you know, that time when you say this, you should change that and say that you said this or did this. And I'd say, I like your version better, but if I change one word as to how I recall it, I won't be able to say it's 100% true.
That's right. That's so, right. Yes, yes. Yeah, embellishing stories. Do you know, I have to take a break, but real quick, I want to tell you this. There's a video that I saw online this morning that I just posted to my Facebook page because I loved it. It's these two dogs. They're very hairy and big. I don't know what kind of dogs they are. Do you know what kind of dogs they
are? No, I don't.
Anyway, so apparently they were not in the house when Grandma showed up, and apparently they love Grandma. So Grandma comes into the house, and I guess they were trying to just see if the dogs would know that she was there. So Grandma goes up to the room upstairs. Then they let the dogs in, and the dogs clearly can smell that Grandma's. They're happy. They've got the tails wagging. They're sniffing the air. They know something's up. And the woman with the camera is laughing, going, "Why? What do you smell? Who's here? Well, they go up the stairs. They find Grandma in the bed, and she's just giggling because they're jumping all over her. And it just, gosh, it warms your heart. You realize how much dogs really love us. I mean, they really, really do, right?
They do, unconditionally.
I know, just amazing. All right, I'm going to get a dog, Robin. I don't know. I'm so torn about this whole dog thing. All right, let me take a little break. We'll be right back. Filippo Voltaggio is on the phone out in Los Angeles, where I'm sure the weather is beautiful, I hope. He's written the book, The Little Dog That Could, and he does a radio show called The Life Changes. We'll be right back with Filippo.
The weather is brought to you by MyFWC.com. Safe boating is no accidents. Some fog patches early in this Monday morning. Otherwise, a warm day today with some sunshine and a high of 79 to 83. It'll be partly cloudy and mild for Monday night. Lows ranging from 57 in some interior locations to 64 along the coast. Tuesday and Wednesday will remain warm and rather humid with intervals of clouds and sun each day. The high Tuesday, 79 to 83. Wednesday's high, 77 to 81. From the Florida Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Joe Lundberg.
Hey, Robin, did you know the Pac-Mail store has moved?
After 22 years of business in Churchill Square, they moved?
Yes, the new store is 1 mile west of their old location on 17th Street, right across from Penn Flooring.
Do they still have the same smiling faces and great customer service?
They pack it, ship it, crate it, and freight it using FedEx, USPS, DHL, or UPS. You can ship all those Christmas gifts.
You shop, we ship. Pac-Mail, 1202 Southwest 17th Street, Suite 201. Call 352-368-9779.
Here's what you may have missed on the John Tesh Radio Show.
We are more motivated to walk when we're at an interesting destination. Boy, I agree with this, whether it's a park, down Main Street, or even at the mall. The people we sit next to at work, we now know they can have a huge impact on our performance. Our mucous membranes dry out on planes. We lose some of the food's aroma. But breathing more deeply as we eat on the plane will make a bland meal taste a whole lot better.
Intelligence for your life on the John Tesh Radio Show. Don't miss this stuff.
A young woman contemplating having an abortion is told by society that whether she has her baby or not, it is her choice. The House of One in Faith in Ocala wants to give that young woman a place to live in comfort during her trying time, to help her know that God's love is abundant and that He is not ashamed of her in any way. The House of One in Faith is free and confidential. For more information, call 352-687-8895.
All right, 19 minutes after 11 o'clock, all right, I'm going to get the Facebook thing straight with Filippo. Filippo Voltaggio is on the phone. He wants to share the video, right?
Yes.
That's what you said?
I do.
Okay, Filippo, you got to go to facebook.com/12stringpoet. Not the 12 string. I know it's confusing, but you'll see Robin and me are in the picture with Santa Claus. And then as soon as I see you want to be a friend, I'll say, okay. And then it'll be the first. An Alaskan Malamute is what the dog is, it says here. Alaskan Malamute. Did you find me yet? He's looking for me.
You mean dash 12 string poet, right?
No, it says, what do you call it? Slash? Facebook.com/, and then the number one, the number two, string poet. Like one, that's all one word. 12.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
all right.
Do that.
All right.
And then I'll say, yes, you're my friend, and then you can do the realize grandma's in the house thing. It is fun.
You are. Oh, there you are. Look, and you got the accordion and everything.
Right. Here, that was just the other day. We went and played. We played at an old folks home, an assisted living facility. I hate to call it old folks home.
Yeah.
And they had this guy come in who looked like a real Santa Claus. All right. Now, how do I do this? I just, it says follow you? Okay, so you're there. Oh, wait, are they?
Yeah.
Okay.
So Filippo Voltaggio is following you.
All right, yeah, it says something like that. Okay, there you go. So now you see the Alaskan Malamute story?
When they realize grandma is in the house.
Right.
Awesome. Right. I'm sharing it on my The Little Dog That Could Facebook page right now.
All right, cool.
And I'll watch it after our interview. We're on air right now.
That's right. We're doing this live. All right, so tell me about the book. When did you actually release the book?
So the story happened about 10 years ago. And I actually wrote the book within the year. And the reason I wrote the book is because people were asking me to share the story. Like, people were saying, well, what happened to the little dog that was here last time I was here, or something like that. And I'd share the story and I'd start to cry. Because it's gut-wrenching to me the experience, one of the experiences that we had together, the dog and I, was very traumatic and traumatizing to both the dog and myself. However, the miracles that happened afterwards were the part that really got me.
Really?
Because to think that there is that much power, you know, you mentioned God, both of you did a couple times. So to think God has that power, or we have that power connecting with God, however you want to look at it, that there is beyond our human existence day to day, you know, go to work and all that stuff, that there's something else that's even much more powerful than that, that I lose sight of in my, I wake up, I go to work, and, you know, I go to bed, and right. I eat, and whatever, and to think there's so much more that's the part that would get me. And still today, it then took me 9 more years to release the book, because I feel like I'm not that guy in the story. That guy was a moment in time that, for whatever reason, was connected at that moment. And I look at myself saying, I could be that all the time with everybody I meet and with every situation, or can I? I don't know yet, but I'm not.
I think I know what you're saying. Have you ever thought you could do anything if you just weren't afraid? Like, no matter what you do, no matter what we all do, there's always going to be somebody or something that'll help us get through whatever trials and tribulations we decide to do. Like, let's say I said, okay, I'm quitting my job today. I'm going to walk to L.A. All right, all the way from Florida. I'm just going to take a walk. That somehow along the way, I would get what I needed in order to make that happen.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
mm-hmm.
either that or I would die.
Yeah,
which might be what you needed.
Yeah, maybe I needed to die. Yeah, but I mean, it almost seems like in life we have there's always stories. Like, if you went back through your life, like, this is why I think we like looking back, because when we look back, when we reminisce, whatever we were worried about back in at that time, we forgot about. We only worry about the future. We never worry about the past.
You know, Larry, that is so insightful, and you mentioned the old folks' home, and the fact that you don't like to call them that. I think we've lost so much in our culture by the people, either with wisdom or with stories or those kind of memories, being put away someplace else. I grew up with my grandmother living with us, and though she might not have been extremely wise growing up in a small town in Italy in the late 1800s, but she had stories. There was a history. I remember before the cars, and I remember before television, and it makes it, at least as a child, it made me think that there was a lot more than my current life at the moment, and especially in this society where a lot of the songs are let's live for this moment as if there is no other moment kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And that kind of takes us away from, I feel, life.
Yeah.
The fullness and the full experience of life.
I went to the Amazon page for the book. You have 25 reviews. Every single one of them is 5 stars. That's not common. You don't see that ever. There's usually some knucklehead who gives it 1 star. Wow, you're doing good.
Don't be that knucklehead.
Yeah, don't be him. Yeah, don't be him.
And since you have such a marvelous philosophy on everything, and does that affect the roles that you chose to act in for the films?
You know, it affects everything I do. Absolutely. It came hard. I would have to say some of the wisdom, quote unquote, that I share in the book was wisdom that I had as a child, and then everything starts to happen. We go to school, and then we have to find a job, and all of that stuff. And I lost it. I disconnected with it, I should say. I turned it off or something because it wasn't appreciated or people didn't understand it. And along with the little dog, there are people in my life that have come, and thankfully many of have stayed to remind me of what I believe life it can be about, and so or what's important to me in life. And so, yes, with every interview that I do, or every song that I sing on stage, or every time I'm master of ceremonies, or when I'm sitting across a client or a group of people in a workshop, I try and be that guy in the book, as connected as I can, saying, this moment is important, you're important, I'm important, let's see what magic we can create here. I try. Yes.
Isn't that interesting? So every connection we make is probably a connection we're supposed to make. Even these little interviews, we do so many interviews with people, and some of them resonate with me, and I'm sure with Robin, probably for months, if not the rest of our lives. And others we forget about before it's even 3 o'clock in the afternoon. You know, I'm sure this is one. I want to get the book. So I get the book on Amazon, right? It says I can get it.
You do.
I think Rob.
And it's on also Barnes & Noble.
Yeah, and you sent me a link to the
Kindle.
The Kindle, okay.
Yep.
So I'll do the Kindle.
Yeah. You have the book. I thought you were just saying that for people listening. But we are on Facebook as The Little Dog That Could, and also the book has a website, thelittledogthatcould.com.
Oh, okay.
And
people want that positiveness in their lives. They don't want to be judged. They want to be able to live their own life the way they feel like, you know, but all the good ways, helping others. But they need somebody as a mentor to say, yes, you know, you can do this. It's good to use your talents in any positive way you can. And you truly do that. You are a mentor in your own right.
Robin, I love that. I love that. And actually, that was the surprise answer that came from a surprise question that I got asked after the book came out. So you could do this. Can you do this with blah, blah, blah? And I said, wow, I didn't expect that question. No, this book isn't about look what I could do. That's why it took me so many years to put it out. If I wanted to say, hey, world, look what I could do, I would have put it out 9 years prior or 10 years prior. But it took me so long because I knew that what I was saying was, we could do this.
Wow.
This is what we could do.
This is too quick. The interview is over already. That's disappointing. Filippo Voltaggio, thank you. What a great connection we've made. The website is thelittledogthatcould.com. The Facebook page is The Little Dog That Could. And it's on Amazon. It's on Barnes & Noble. It's getting rave reviews from everybody who's read it. Filippo, thank you, and good luck with everything.
Thank you both, Larry and Robin. What a pleasure.
That was
fun. Happy holidays.
Thank you. We'll be right back.
Fox News Radio, I'm Pat O'Neill. It's drawing fire from both parties on Capitol Hill. Word that ExxonMobil chief Rex Tillerson, who's had ties to Russia, is about to be picked by President-elect Trump as Secretary of State.
He was recommended to the Trump campaign from a number of people outside of government, according to sources, among them Robert Gates and Condoleezza Rice. One of the things that Donald Trump really likes about Tillerson is that he has crafted deals in some of the most difficult places around the world to do business.
Fox's John Roberts. A federal judge has blocked the bid by the Green Party's Jill Stein for a recount of Pennsylvania's presidential votes. A recount in Michigan was already stopped. Snow and freezing rain causing problems for much of the Midwest and Great Lakes.